4. City of Manchir, Duchy of Manchir, Princedom of Coruscant. Coruscantians, citizens of Manchir, the blood of your slain prince cries out from the very stones of your city. The boots of the slaves and lackeys of the monster who shed that blood march through your streets. The voices of apostate priests speak in your churches. The defenders of the true faith are driven into silence and hiding. How much longer will you endure these insults, these affronts to both God and man? How much longer? Patrick Henry frowned in concentration as he considered the composing stick and the current line of type. As a silversmith, he was a skilled engraver, but he'd discovered, not to his surprise, that there were very few similarities between engraving and typesetting. For one thing, he still had trouble reading the mirror-imaged letters. There was no problem identifying each letter as he took it from the proper pigeonhole of the job case, although he still had to look to be sure it was the proper pigeonhole, and it was easy enough, ahead of time, to chart out which letters had to go where on the composing stick before they were transferred to the form and bound together. But his brain still persisted in reading each word as he set up the type, and he'd discovered that it tried to trick him into reading the letters in the correct order, instead of in the reversed order they had to go into for the press. Still, it wasn't an impossible skill to acquire, and if it wasn't the same as silversmithing, there were similarities. He'd always liked the detail work, the concentration on the little things, working with metals, the fine coordination of hand and eye. The printer's was a different art, but it was still an art, and he'd found that the part of him which had never expected to become a street agitator treasured the retreat back into an artisan's role, even if it was only temporary. He reached for the next letter, and behind his focus on the task in hand, his mind was busy. This broadsheet would be transported from the carefully hidden basement press through a network of dedicated supporters. Copies of it would be tacked up all over the city by tomorrow night. Of course, parties of the city guard would be busy tearing them down by the following dawn. Not all of those city guardsmen would agree with their orders in that regard, Henry was sure of that, but they'd obey them. The Regency Council and that traitorous bastard Garvai would see to that. Henry discovered his jaw was clenching once more and ordered it to relax. It obeyed, after a fashion, and he drew a deep breath. Just thinking about Sir Corin Garvai was enough to send rage pulsing through every vein. Garvai's effortless defeat at the hands of Caleb Armagh and his army could have been put down to mere feckless incompetence. In his more charitable moments, Henry would even have been prepared to put at least some of it down to simple bad luck, or to the fact that Shan Wei looked after her own. But Garvai's decision to actually accept command of the traitorous forces prepared to do Armok's will here in Coruscant had to make a man wonder. Had he truly been simply unlucky or incompetent, or had there been something more sinister at work? Some quiet little understanding between him and the invaders. Had his treason against Coruscant and the House of Dakin begun only after his defeat, or before it? Most of the time, Henry was willing to accept that Garvai's present position was a case of opportunism after the fact, not an indication of treason before the fact. And he'd realized, even without Father Adrian's gentle hints, that accusing Garvai and his father of having plotted with Caleb ahead of time would be premature at this point. In the fullness of time, that might change, especially as the debate over exactly whose hand had hired the assassins to strike down Prince Hector and his eldest son matured. Personally, it seemed obvious to Henry that those who'd profited the most by the prince's murder were those most likely to have planned that murder. And taken all together, he couldn't think of anyone who'd profited more heavily than the members of the Regency Council set up to govern the princedom according to Armok's demands. They could call themselves Prince Divan's Council all they wanted to, but that didn't change who they truly answered to, or the fact that they'd somehow managed not simply to survive, but to come out with even more power than they'd had before. Nor did it change the supine surrender of the princedom's parliament, Hainry thought, scowling down at the composing stick. He supposed it was unreasonable to expect Parliament to defy Armok's will, as dutifully expressed through the Regency Council, with the Carizian Viceroy General Churman and the better part of 60,000 Carizian Marines occupying Coruscant. Churman had 20,000 of those Marines right here in Manchir, and while he'd made some effort to avoid parading them too blatantly through the streets of the city, everyone knew they were there, as did the members of the House of Knights and the House of Commons. So, no, it wasn't surprising Parliament had voted to give Armok everything he asked for. On the other hand, there might well be a difference between what they'd voted for and what they really intended to do. By all reports, Parliament would be breaking up shortly, with all of its members returning to their homes, out from under the eye and the bayonets of the occupation. It would be interesting to see what happened then. He knew the hard skeleton of organized resistance had already come together here in Manchir, and his own contact from that skeleton assured him the same thing was happening outside the city. It remained to be fleshed out with sinew and muscle, but those other things would come in time. And not all of them from sources Hainry might have expected. In fact, from a few stray words his contact had let drop, Hainry strongly suspected that the Resistance's leadership had already made discreet contact with several members of Parliament as well. No doubt they'd planted quite a few equally discreet seeds that would bear fruit in due time. In the meanwhile, Patrick Hainry would concentrate on cultivating and fertilizing his own little plot right here in the capital.